ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांता श्रील प्रपाद शिवप्रपाद की जय. द ट्रांसडेंटल फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड एज इट इज सेटिस्फाइज द माइंड्स डिजायर एंड एट वंस इरेजेस ऑल मेंटल इनकॉन्ग्रुइटीज. अपॉन लूजिंग दैट फॉर्म आई सडनली गॉट अप बींग परटर्ब एज इज यूजुअल व्हेन वन लूजेस दैट व्हिच इज डिजायरेबल. परपोर्ट. That the Lord is not formless is experienced by Narad Muni, but His form is completely different from all forms of our material experience. For the whole duration of our life, we go on seeing different forms in the material world, but none of them is just apt to satisfy the mind, nor can one any of them vanish all perturbance of the mind. There are special features of the transcendental form of the Lord, and once who has seen that form is not satisfied with anything else. No form in the material world can any longer satisfy the seer. That the Lord is formless or impersonal means that He has nothing like a material form and is not like any material personality. As spiritual beings having eternal relations with that transcendental form of the Lord, we are, life after life, searching after that form of the Lord. And we are not satisfied by any other form of material appeasement. Narad Muni got a glimpse of this, but having not seen it again, he became perturbed and stood up all of a sudden to search it out. What we desire life after life was obtained by Narad Muni, and losing sight of him again was certainly a great shock for him. Hare Krishna. It's a very auspicious day of the Aha Ekadashi today, the Ananda Aha Ekadashi, and it's my privilege to speak a few words, and I take seek the blessings of senior Vaishnavas here and Vaishnavis. So this is a very interesting verse which really encompasses the whole of Krishna conscious philosophy. We have seen this is the Narad Vyasadeva Samvad in this chapter. And we have seen that Narad, in his previous life, served the transcendental human beings. They were the Mahabhagwats. They stayed with his mother and him for four months of the Chaturmash. He served them. And with their permission, he had their remnants. He listened to them. He had the desire to hear. And all that made him eligible in this lifetime to perform this meditation, and he performed the meditation, and then the Lord appeared in the lotus of his heart, and that's where we come to this verse. So, Prabhupada describes in the purport about this transcendental form of the Lord. And Narad Muni saw this transcendental form of the Lord and got very enchanted. So what did he actually see? We think of this transcendental form, but what did he actually see? And I'm going to take you to the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's where we get the glimpse of what did Narad Muni actually see when he describes to Dhruv Maharaj as to what he saw in the transcendental form. So as you know that Dhruv Maharaj leaves through the forest after being pierced by the harsh words of his stepmother Suruchi, along with son Uttama and husband Uttanapad, and he left for the forest to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narad initially meets him and tests him. And in the fourth canto, the eighth chapter, 30th verse, Narad says to Dhruv Maharaj, because he is testing him, he says, "Now that you have decided to undertake this mystic process of meditation under the instruction of your mother, just to achieve the mercy of the Lord, but in my opinion, such austerities are not possible for an ordinary man. It is very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Dhruv responds to Narad Muni in the 37th verse, and he says, "O learned Brahman, I want to occupy a position more exalted than yet achieved by, within the three worlds by anyone, even by my father and grandfather. But if you will oblige, kindly advise me an honest path to follow by which I can achieve the goal of my life." And that brings us to the description. So Narad obviously gets very compassionate and responds to him. And that's where it brings us to the four verses where Narad Muni is describing the Lord. And they are so beautiful verses. I would like to read that to you. So in the 45th verse, Narad Muni says, The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see him, he never appears to be displeased, and he is always prepared to award benedictions to them. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, his raised nose, and his forehead, broad forehead, are very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. And he continues, the Lord form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul, and anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of the mercy. Lord is further described as having the mark of Srivastava, or the sitting place of the goddess of fortune, and his bodily hue is deeply bluish. The Lord is a person. He wears a garland of flowers, and he is eternally manifested with four hands, which hold, beginning from the lower left hand, a conch shell, wheel, club, and lotus flower. And finally mentions that the entire body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is decorated. He wears a valuable jeweled helmet, necklaces, and bracelets. His neck is adorned with Kasturba jewel, and he is dressed in yellow garments. Now that is the description of what Narad Muni saw. Now if we just meditate on that description itself, a lot of us will get cleaning and more cleaning just to be able to meditate. Because we think about meditation, but we know that Lord is a person. We know that Lord is the most beautiful person. But what does most beautiful means? And unless we read the description from the Bhagavatas, we would not be able to understand the real beauty of the Lord. So the next question arises, what was the eligibility of Narad to be able to see this form of the Lord? Are we in the same eligible situation? So Narad Muni, from his previous life deeds and karma, he was in the stage of bhava. So he was in the stage of bhava, but after seeing the Lord, he immediately reached the stage of prema. So that's what the transcendental form of Lord does, is makes a devotee a pure devotee. And we have got similar examples of the four Kumaras. So Lord himself describes the effect of this darshan, and that's Lord Kapildev describing the to his mother in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto 25th verse and 25th chapter and 36th verse. And before that, I would just want to mention that what Dhruva Maharaj said to Narad Muni, and Narad Muni then responded that saying that persons who worship you simply for the sense gratification of this bag of skin are certainly influenced by your illusory energy. So Narad Muni is calling us this body is a bag of skin. In spite of having you, who are like a desire tree and a cause of liberation from birth and death, foolish persons such as me desire benedictions from you for sense gratification, which is available even for those who live in hellish conditions. So coming back to the description of Kapildev on for this darshan, so he is advising his mother Devahuti, my dear mother, my pure devotees are charmed by seeing my different forms. The beauty of my face, the structure of my body is so enchanting. My laughing, my pastimes, and my glance appears to them so beautiful that their minds are always absorbed in thoughts of me, and their lives are dedicated fully unto me. Such people do not desire any kind of liberation, any kind of material happiness. Still, I give them a place among my associates in the supreme abode. So the Lord himself is mentioning what is the effect of his darshan in this form. Now, who is Krishna? If I was to take a poll, Krishna is, everybody would say Krishna is our Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as you know, in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami describes that Krishna is a whole sum of Krishna himself, his devotees, his paraphernalia, his incarnations, his expansions. So how can one see Krishna? And when we are talking about the transcendental form, can we see Krishna? And I'm just going to take a little break and have a story time. In the morning, we sometimes like stories. So these stories will just depict what it means to see Krishna. So there was this one man who decided to worship the Lord of Death, Yamraj. It's a very unusual thing to do. But he did a lot of austerities. He worshipped Yamraj. And Yamraj got very happy because not a lot of men or women worship Yamraj. So Yamraj was very happy. And he said, okay, well, can I give you some benediction? He said, you know what? My problem is that I've got anxiety. I've got anxiety of death. And I know that you can't make me immortal. But the last thing I want is to go without any notice. So I want some notice of my death. So I want advance warning from you by a letter that I'm going to die in so many weeks or so many months, so I can prepare myself. So Yamraj says, okay, I can arrange that. So he starts getting old, and he starts getting gray hair, and some of us even lose hair. So he starts getting gray hair. So his friend said, look, you know, you're getting on now. You should start getting serious about your spiritual life. He said, no, don't worry. I've got this deal with Yamraj. He'll send me a letter and I would be notified. So then when I get the letter, then I'll get serious about it. So then the teeth start falling. And then again their friends come and say, look, you know, it's time now. You should get serious. He said, no, don't worry. I've got this deal. He's promised me he'll send me a letter. Then he starts losing his vision. Cataracts start developing, and obviously that time there was not enough surgeons around to take the cataract out. So he starts seeing less and less. And then his friends say, look, you know, it's really getting time. You should get serious. No, don't worry. I've got this deal. He's very, very true to his word. He will send me a letter. And finally the body gets bent, you know, the spine gets bent. We all get backache and the body starts, you know, bending, and we start walking like with a stick and everything else. And the friend says, look, it's really time. You should be getting very serious now. He said, no, don't worry. I've got this deal. And finally, he suddenly dies and he's very, very angry with Yamraj. He said, goes back to Yamraj and said, no, what happened? I thought you had a deal and I thought you were a truthful man. He said, yeah, I stuck to my word. He said, well, you didn't stick to your word. Where is those letters? He said, I send you four letters. Not one, I send you four letters. He said, really? Which ones? He said, first, your hair got gray. That was my first letter. Second, your teeth fell off. That was my second letter. Then you couldn't see. That was my third letter. And then fourth was your body got bent. That was my fourth letter. And you still couldn't read it. So I thought that was interesting, that how do we not realize Krishna's presence? And then there was this story of this drowning man. So this village. Now this man was very pious. Now this is a Brahmin who had real faith in Krishna, and he felt that Krishna would always be there to take him back to Godhead because he has done so much austerity and so much service. So the water starts rising. I'm sure most of you have heard this story. Water starts rising in the house. He goes to the first floor, then he goes to the second floor. The water keeps rising. And then the whole village people come and say, look, come on, let's go. He said, no, Krishna will personally come and save me. You know, I've got full faith in Krishna. And then finally a boatman comes and says, look, there's not much left now. You have to go. Now, we are getting to the modern world, so he doesn't go. And then finally, even a helicopter comes and he said, okay, look, now this is your last chance. No, Krishna will take me. I'm going to see Krishna myself personally. And finally he drowns. And he goes to Krishna and says, what happened? He said, look, I send you the village people. I send you the boatman. I send you the helicopter. What happened? You're just not ready to look for it. And this interesting story about our Brahma. So when we get too proud, what happens? So our Brahma of this universe is four-headed, as you know. So he goes to meet Krishna in Dwarka. And he says to the Dwarpal that, tell Krishna that Brahma has come. So he says, okay. So he goes and tells Krishna that Brahma has come. So Krishna asks, which Brahma? So he goes and asks, which Brahma? So he says, what do you mean, which Brahma? Brahma is Brahma. So when he takes him inside, he says that there are thousands of Brahma with thousands of heads, and then he feels that, oh my goodness, what did I do? So pride. So when we talk about seeing the transcendental form of Krishna, it is Krishna is everywhere. As Prabhupada says, don't try to see Krishna, but do your devotional service in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So I was just meditating that Narad Muni saw this transcendental form of the Lord and got so enchanted. He described this beautiful form. And then when the form, when Lord went away, he felt this extreme anxiety and became very perturbed. I have Radha Gokulnand here, and I come so often to the temple. I see Radha Gokulnand in front of me, and I'm using the word be as in more for me. Why don't I get so enchanted? Why don't my hair stands on the end? Why don't I start dancing the moment I see the deities? And when I'm going back or the curtains are drawn, why don't I feel separation? What's wrong with me? And really, we get it so cheaply. We get Radha Gokulanand's darshan so cheaply, we don't value it. Just because we have it, we have him in front of us, how many times do we think, how lucky, how fortunate we are? We don't. I'm talking about me, not for you. You are all exalted devotees, but that's because of our conditioning. How much do we need to be told or reminded? And that's where I think there's a balance. Now, I don't know how many of you know Hindi, but in Hindi there's a word called taraju. Taraju is a scale where in India the people who are selling the vegetables or the fruit, they weigh it. So on one side they put the weight and the other side they put the vegetable. And I believe that we have the same scale in our mind. And the scale is, on one hand, is this our spiritual senses, and the other hand is our material senses. The total should add up to 100. Now, when we start, or when I start, I'm probably still there, our spiritual senses are sleeping. They are in nidra. So when spiritual senses are sleeping, we are in material, total mode of material senses. And that's where we get this sense enjoyment or the gratification. And that is why when we come in front of the deity, nothing really happens. Because what needs to be switched on at that time is our spiritual sense. That spiritual sense which will connect us to the Lord, not just as a deity, but as the Lord. So the higher we go in our spiritual senses, the lesser the material senses go down. So that's the scale. And at any time we can have this check ourselves, where does the balance lie? Am I getting attracted to Maya? Am I getting attracted to Krishna? And that's where the balance comes. So the deity can be seen in three forms, at three levels. The first level is a gross level for the materialist, and they see that the deity is made out of matter. So whether it's clay or it's brass, they see a deity as deity of Lord, and that's material, made out of some material sense, material, some matter. And that's the first level of how we see the deity. The second level is when people see deity as a symbol of God. So, you know, when you see the BT sign or the post office sign, you know, that represents post office, or that represents a BT, or whatever else you want to see as a sign. Now, that's if the impersonalists connect to Lord as that the deity is in front of them, that's just symbol of God. That's how they see it. And hopefully the devotees see what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says as in the bhava form. So we see the deity in the bhava form. Because deity smiles to us. We often see deity smiles to us. And I read this statement, I thought that was so beautiful. Sometimes the deity move into our consciousness and then moves our consciousness. So when we are really attracted to the deity, it moves into our consciousness and it moves our consciousness. And what does it do by moving our consciousness? The balance goes toward the spiritual senses get higher and the material senses go down. So I thought that was very nice. And then in this verse, very interesting concept of desire and mental incongruity is mentioned. So it's mentioned that when the transcendental form is seen, obviously the spiritual senses go up. So the desires, the material desires and the mental incongruity gets vanished. So I was thinking, what is this mental incongruity? Now, being the surgeon, suddenly the mind goes to the structure of the brain. And if you have seen in the picture of the brain has got what we call as sulci and gyri, the deep depressions, grooves and fissures, and then matter in between. So has anybody seen the picture of a brain? And it's not smooth. So I was thinking the mental incongruity, the sulci and gyri, that kind of makes sense. And why are this structure of brain like that? Because it's supposed to increase the surface area so you can have more neurons to have more thoughts. And I was thinking, the more thoughts, the more jumbled we get, the more paralysis by analysis we get, and the more we give away from the Lord. So, you know, there is a treatment called ECT, which is called electroconvulsive therapy. And it is given as a shock. The shock resets the system, and the person comes back. So if somebody is having fits, they give a shock, and then the system stabilizes. We are quite like that. We are quite like that. In this human body, having the material desires, we are quite like that. We are having this fits and convulsions of the sensual desires, the desire to have sense gratification. And unless we get this electroconvulsive therapy, we are not going to get back to a baseline. And what does this shock treatment come in form of? It comes in form of the DT looking at us. When we see the DT as the Lord Himself, that transcendental form, then this makes us understand, and this all this incongruity disappears. Why? Because this is like a shock. And we should feel it like a shock. So when we go in front of the DT, it should give us a shock of happiness. Does it give us a shock of happiness or not? And that's a judgment as to what our balance is of the spiritual versus material senses. I thought that was very nice. Obviously, once you get that shock, once we get the higher taste or revelation, we can probably never go back. So I think we are now we are in it, and I keep saying this, that now we are in it, why might as well enjoy it. So we are all into Krishna consciousness. Again, repeating the same point which I make again and again, it's not a luxury. Krishna consciousness is not a luxury; it's an emergency. I know you're probably sick and tired of me saying that, but it's really true. This is house on fire. We have no time to waste. It is house on fire. We have to get out of it. And hence, Krishna consciousness, please take it very seriously, and we should all take it very seriously. And the next point I wanted to make was that when the Lord left, Narad felt this he had a very perturbed mind. He was very disturbed. Do we ever think, how does Krishna feel? So Lord Narayan left Narad. We are all talking about how Narad felt. Do we ever think how Krishna feels? And we don't get much glimpse of how Krishna feels. Very occasionally we get the glimpse in Dwarka when he's sleeping and he's chanting the names of Radharani. We know in his heart how he feels when a devotee separates from him. We know that Krishna is like, you know, in our heart, like Super Soul, the two birds. He's just waiting and watching us, just requesting us to turn the face towards him. And we know that beautiful story in Brihad Bhagavatam about Gop Kumar. So if you see that picture when Krishna hugs Gop Kumar, you know that he is waiting for us. He's desperate. How desperate he's feeling from being separated from us. We are only thinking of us. How do we feel being separate from Krishna? But how does he feel? So for his sake, even if not for not our sake, we have to follow the process to get back to Godhead. We know about the separation of gopis, how they felt. We know how the residents of Hastinapur, Mathura and Dwarka felt in the Vipralamba Bhav. So this verse effectively describes the purpose of bhakti. It brings us to the union and then talks about separation. And it really comes down to the same summary of Krishna consciousness, that for me, again, if I was to squeeze Krishna consciousness into two words, it's love and service. So we are trying to achieve in this human body the love of Godhead. And by trying to achieve that, we are also loving every single entity who's part and parcel of Krishna. And how do we do that? We perform service. That's our eternal nature. So love and service. I'm going to leave some time for questions, but also I was going to mention that today is the Ananda Ajay Ekadashi, and a small story of this Ekadashi, that it's about the king Harishchandra. He was the epitome of truthfulness. So we always used to equate him to being honest and being truthful. And so he was serving his kingdom very well. And due to some previous curse, he lost everything and even had to sell his wife and son to maintain himself. And then he ended up being the servant of a dog eater in the crematorium. And he was in that body and that performing that service of taking clothes. So when Yudhishthira, as you know, in all the Ekadashis, Yudhishthira asked Krishna, "What is this? What is the importance of this Ekadashi?" So Krishna is describing that in that body, he is praying to the Lord, "What did I do? Why did I get into this body?" So then his prayers are answered by a sage who comes along. His name is Gautam Rishi, and he prays to Gautam Rishi and says, "Look, you know, how can I get out of this situation?" So he said, "If you fast on this Ekadashi, which is the Aja Ekadashi, you will all your sins will be cleared, and you will be able to go back to Godhead." So he made this vow. He fasted on this Ekadashi, and his sins were relieved, and he went back to he got his kingdom back and his family back, and then he served the Lord and went back to Godhead. I also wanted to take this opportunity to talk a little bit about the Janmashtami that we have just seen. Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokulan Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Gauranitai Ki Jai. So if we just look at the form of the Lord, we should be looking at the Lord in a different way as we have ever looked before. And I hope by this, after this class, we would probably, or at least I will change the way I look at Him, and I can see Him smiling, and something should happen to me. So we had the privilege of serving at Janmashtami. Now, I was reflecting on this service. This service is very rare. We come, we serve, we go away. But this service is given to very, very rare individuals. And hence, we have to take it very seriously. Not seriously, it's really Lord's mercy. And ask someone whose service is taken away from him. See how it feels. And that is why then we would realize that this service should not be taken casually. Every minute that we are serving, whether serving the devotees, whether serving anybody whom we are trying to give Krishna consciousness, that is an absolute privilege. Now that privilege does not come cheap, and we should not take it cheaply. So this service, we should value the service so much, and every minute of it that we should enjoy that, wow, how am I getting this privilege? What have I done to get this privilege? I don't deserve it, but the Lord is so merciful. So serving in Janmashtami and then serving this year ahead, we should always carry that mood, and we should be hungry for more service. People, devotees sometimes feel very exhausted, tired. Yes, body doesn't sometimes allow, and we have to look after the body first, but that mood of service should always be there. So I'm so grateful to all of you and all the devotees who have served and the volunteers. We have had a wonderful Janmashtami festival. Probably, I think record numbers came this year, and the weather obviously was good. But how much Krishna consciousness have we distributed this Janmashtami and the year round. So thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.